Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Wholeness Podcast. I'm your host, Melissa Catherine, intuitive coach specializing in mindset mastery and committed to bringing you back to wholeness, the truth of who you were before you ever thought you were less than, whether it's due to a number on the scale, a trauma, or challenges in life. So many of us have limiting beliefs that we somehow aren't enough, and I'm here to tell you it's just not true. As a leader in transformation, having been a coach for almost a decade, with a background as a nutritionist, fitness expert, and hypnotherapist, I specialize in emotional and mindset mastery with a spiritual connection to support you in living your best life in a body that you love. Listen each week to receive expert guidance, live coaching, and have your questions answered. It's time for you to have wholeness now.
Jules. Oh my gosh. All right, you guys, I have an incredible guest today that I have like a list of so many questions. She is absolutely amazing. We have Jules Schroeder with us. And wait, she's in her car because she's back committed and her Wi-Fi went out. Are you still in Boulder right now?
Yeah, I'm in Boulder. Hey, Melissa. Hey, everyone. Yeah, we've had this crazy snowstorm the last few days, and like 30 minutes ago, my Wi-Fi went out, and I'm like, all right, I'm gonna make this happen. So it's an unconventional interview.
So. And it's so fitting for who you are, because you show up, and you show up no matter what. And that's one of the things that I want to talk about today. So guys, I need to give you background, because Jules is, first off, 31 years old. So I just want to give context of what she's created, and then we're going to go into more of her story. But Jules is ranked by Inc. magazine as the number one of the top 27 female entrepreneurs changing the world, and one of the top 40 millennials to follow. She has a top rated podcast that you have to check out called The Unconventional Life, along with running international retreats, masterminds to help others pursue their dreams. So she generously is constantly sharing everything that she learns, how she got to where she is, the simple processes that she lives by, which we're going to dive into. What I love as well is she's a musician and a visionary on a mission to inspire people to create a life by their own design. She's a Forbes columnist and top-rated podcast for entrepreneurs that feature the stories of millennials living from this new paradigm, which you guys know I'm obsessed with paradigms. And also another thing that I love, can we tell I'm obsessed, is she's multi-passionate entrepreneur. So she didn't just pick one thing, which is what we have this whole programming that tells us to do. She does it all. And she just dropped, right? Like literally, I don't know. You can tell me how long ago, but her second album called Portal, you guys have to check it out. I listened to it and I'm like, I'm in love. And then you have another one coming out soon.
Yes. Next week.
Okay. Well, she's frozen with a beautiful smile. That's all that matters. Okay. She's coming. All right, Jules, you went out there for a minute when we were talking about your album.
Yes, I said next week, we've got the first single coming off, the new album, Restless Soul. So the new single is called Judgment Day.
Oh my gosh. So, okay, I'm going to bring everybody up to, so you lived kind of the more conventional life, and then you had a near-death experience, and you were awakened, or what have you, I would love for you to share, but with this white figure, and you were given kind of guidance on what was next for you. Can you tell me a little bit about that experience and how you actually, like, did you just wake up with a as a completely new person that was just like, I'm a yes, I'm so connected, and I'm only going to live this path? Okay.
It was such a wild ride in so many ways. You know, when I think back to that experience in 2015, and it was a wakeboarding accident. It was out, you know, in Colorado, one of the days just out on the reservoir. And I was a sponsored snowboarder before, so I was used to going out with the boys and getting big air and all the things. But I came back and face planted and hit the water. And in that moment, I knew I was messed up, but I didn't think it was going to, you know, be what it was. And flash forward, I get off the boat an hour later and I'm in the bathroom stall and all of my legs and fingers started to go tingly. I was barely able to like hold myself up on that toilet paper roll and get out of there. And I guess I got rushed to the hospital. And my next memory was coming out of the MRI and being approached by this white figure and six Black Shadow Council member, as you said. And they thought my neck was broken. They thought I might've been paralyzed. And there was this conversation of Jewel.
Oh, wait. All right, guys, bear with us just because Jules is literally in her car because of the snowstorm. You know what, Jules? Maybe if you have your video and we just do audio, that would be better.
Yeah, let's try that out. And I'm so excited to be on here with all of you. So I really apologize for our technical difficulties. So, Melissa, where was the part that I cut out? I know I was in the middle of that story.
The last thing that we heard was that, you know, you knew you were really messed up, your neck, and you kind of, and then that was really it.
Yeah. And, you know, I just remembered this, you know, out of body experience, them saying, you know, Jules, you have more work to do in the world. Do you want to do it? And I just said, yes, as long as I don't come back as a vegetable. And literally in that next moment, I was zapped back into my body. Felt this energy forge my neck back together and shoot down my spine. And the moment that I woke up, like everything shifted. And it really was the start, you know, before I felt like life very much was being driven by me. And after that accident, it very much felt like life coming through. And, you know, I think what I mean by that is, you know, before I was still chasing this external validation and acknowledgement of what success was. You know, I had multiple 6- and 7-figure businesses, and no matter what success I got, I never felt like it was enough. There was always more. And I would go to bed at night with this feeling of not feeling totally fulfilled, or it would nag me, you know, in the morning in the shower. And it was like, you know, from the outside, it looks so good, but I didn't have that internal congruency of like, wow, how I feel actually matches, you know, what my external.
Well, and here's the thing. Jules, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. So what you're talking about, I think, is what like everyone's chasing, and they're talking about it in energy and getting into a flow state and, you know, meditating their way there. And will yoga do it for me? And if I find love, if I make this much money, how, you know, so what did that feel like to wake up and be in that congruency? And how did you just consistently go from living your life one way to actually operating from constantly being a hell yes?
You know, I think for me, it started to actually feel like genuine liberation. And I think for the first time, you know, it started to take the focus from I need to do more and be more and create more to actually the opposite, which is to listen and to reflect and to be still. And what I noticed is I started tuning in more rather than out more. I started to gauge a better sense of alignment. And then ultimately, what brings me joy? And I remember I made a list one day where I put everything I was doing in my life, from waking up to emails to client calls to working to eating regimens. And I ranked it on a 1 to 10 scale, a 10 being an absolute hell yes, and a 1 being like, I should get this off my calendar and my schedule right now. And after listing everything out, I found the only 2 things that were giving me an 11 out of 10 were CrossFit and music. And those 2 things I was spending less than 10% of my time doing. And everything else that I thought I should be doing was taking up about 70, 80% of my time. And it was such an awakening to look at that and be like, well, what is the point of this whole thing? And that's when I really started saying no to those sixes and sevens, and then ultimately really shifting my life to make more space for the things that brought me more joy. And then naturally that ultimately.
All right, guys, stay with me. Jules, you there?
Yeah, I'm here again. So, yeah.
So here's the thing. I love what you're saying. And, you know, I love it so much. And I also want to speak into, because I think right now with COVID, and I think right now in general, the world is so many people, and I know the women in my community, women and men, are awakening to asking themselves, first off, connecting to themselves, getting out of the old paradigm, and saying, what is it that I really want? And one of the things that you seem to do quite effortlessly was ask it and keep doing it and trusting in that. So what guidance would you give to someone that's going, I want to do what you're doing, but I don't have the clarity. How do I find what lights me up? How do I find what my next step is?
Yeah, I think that's such an important question. And you know, right now, in some senses, you know, we are so out of control with what's happening in the world right now.
Jules, you there?
Yeah, I'm here. The most unconventional interview. So there's no planning and there's no predictability to anything that we're doing. And I think, you know, I always adapt this thing that if I'm not clear, it's a not right now. And instead of, you know, really trying to beat myself up or force an action, I tend to actually wait until just the right moment. And a good gauge for that is notice where there's natural momentum happening in your life right now. And it might surprise you and come in the forms you're not expecting. So I notice if I have an idea, or what are my friends or family, what do they come to me for? What kind of questions are people asking me for? Is it about relationships? Is it about, you know, what I'm doing with my hair and my makeup? What is it about? And ultimately, where is the aliveness? Like, where am I naturally drawn to spend time? Not.
Yeah. I love that so much. Where are you actually drawn to spend time, and where is there natural momentum? And then I also love that you said, basically, if it's not a hell yes, it's a not right now, or it's a hell no.
Absolutely.
Actually not. And I think as women, especially if from different generations, you know, it is that controller tendency of, I must make it happen. I must prove myself worth. I must, you know, go for my dreams, and kind of that, more of that, what you could deem masculine energy to get things done. And what you're really speaking into is the pause, and like the power in the pause.
Yeah. And I think we're in the great pause right now with COVID and everything. And it's like, don't miss the gold of this opportunity. Like, as much as it's like all the things and not what any of us predicted, in so many ways, I think it is making a potent medicine available if you're willing to wait for it and willing to look in different ways for it.
I so agree. Okay. So in terms of being a multi-passionate entrepreneur, I love that because I am very similar. And I want to ask you, how have you, because I know this is something that I really struggled with, which was, where do I put my energy first? Where, you know, that whole statement where, you know, where you place your focus, your energy goes and grows. And then put your energy there. If you really want something, you need to focus on it. You need to really be, you know, everything you do needs to be intentional and in that direction. What are your thoughts on that and building, you know, multiple successful areas of your life?
Okay. Yeah, you know, totally. I remember someone came to my website a few years ago and they're like, I hope you don't take this the wrong way, but it looks a bit ADD. Like, are you a musician? Do you teach yoga? Like, are you in a business? Like, how do I make of you? How do I classify you? And, you know, I think one thing I've recognized is that over, you know, my time in my life is that every piece of yourself really deserves the right attention. And I find, you know, often it's so easy to compartmentalize and say, hey, you know, this part with my creativity or this part with working out or my love of connecting with people, you know, it's not going to make money. So I therefore shouldn't make it a priority or I shouldn't focus on that. And so one thing I've had to learn over the years is to allow every part of my self-expression to have a voice. And I find that when parts of myself, my artist self or my yoga self or whatever it is, don't get to feel like they have a seat at the table, it causes chaos. And instead of doing all the things, I end up in a freeze response and I end up spinning my wheels and almost like I'm stuck because everyone's trying to compete for airtime. And so that's the first thing, is to look at every piece and say every piece is valid. And not only is it valid, you know, there's a time and a place for it. And I think, you know, that piece in and of itself allowed me to stop spinning my wheels and spinning out from like some days being like, I should be in a voice lesson, to I need to learn this new business strategy, to I got to do this thing. And I was like chasing like a chicken with her head cut off, you know, and spinning all the plates, but not successfully serving one. And from there, I then start to come back to that question of, well, what feels like has natural momentum right now? I read people on a cruise ship through Italy for a luxury event, you know, in June, this 5-day life and business accelerator. And then obviously COVID closed and it kind of sounds like a Saturday Night Live skit at this point, come on a cruise ship during coronavirus. But, you know, that part of my business would have been what's most alive. But then subsequently it was like, okay, well, there's not natural and effortless momentum there. Where is that? Cool. I can actually create a new music album, or I can put my attention now over here. And so I really pay attention to the rhythm and the flow of life, both externally and internally. Where does there seem to be movement and where does there seem to be resistance? And I chase movement and double down on it. And then where there's resistance, I use that as a pause or not right now. And if you start increasing your awareness, you know, whether it's in a new business idea or whatever it is, you know, sometimes things need to incubate a little bit longer than we would prefer them to. But sometimes things are hot to trot right out the gate. And so if you start to shift that, you become your own compass and guide for where to go in what order. And it stops becoming about your mind and it comes being more about your intuition to lead.
I love this. So what would you say then to, you know, somebody like that's sitting there going, or like, let's use J.K. Rowling, for instance, right? Like sending her book out. And it's getting rejected and rejected and rejected. Do you, what is that like? But then, you know, literally like her 13th try, it ended up getting published, right? So what would you say there where it, you know, where it looks like, hey, I have something that's my heart, like it's got my heart and I believe in it. But right now it just doesn't seem right that I'm getting the traction. I guess my question is the deciphering, because I know that there's going to be a lot of people in particular listening to this that are get very caught in their heads and aren't as dropped into their body. So we know that that's the first place they need to go, but that are going, okay, well, is that, you know, they're not being momentum and more time to incubate, or is that a time when I need to believe and keep moving in that action?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. And I get asked that a lot as well. And I think it comes back to timing and the way that I see it. And even if we use J.K. Rowling as an example, it's not that she stopped, but it was really the right time, the right author, the right place, the right publisher that said, hey, now this is it's going to hit right here. And as an artist and a musician, man, it's like you make so much creation, or even as a business owner, we create all this content. We're like, is anyone out there? Does anyone hear me? Like, should I just like close shop and get a job, or...
Oh my gosh. So did you find as a multi-passionate entrepreneur that you had to kind of direct some of your energy on certain projects and allow for the incubation while you were moving in another direction? Or did you kind of choose like your top two or top three, or did you stay focused on one before it gained a certain level of success and momentum? And then you started to kind of put your energy more in other places. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. You know, and I think what comes up for me when I hear a question, it also comes back to like having your basic needs met and also survival. And when I think back to some of my earlier days, or frankly, even like, you know, this event was going to gross us $2 million this year and like, bam, income like wiped out in a second, you know, from COVID and stuff. And so it's like, if your basic financial needs and survival needs are not met, in my own experience, it becomes really hard to hold and create from all those different places. And I find, you know, there's a sweet spot, right, of taking a risk and pushing yourself outside of your comfort zone. But in my own experience, like, if you don't know, like, can you pay your rent and can you, like, you know, eat your food and whatever that is, it makes it really challenging to create all these things, because you're like creating, you know, on one side, but in the background, you're like, you know, this fight or flight is just in nature. It's our human nature behind it. So that'd be the first thing, is like, okay, are my survival needs met? Okay, cool. And of course, there's always more money that we would love to make, but getting that done. And, you know, there's been times where I've either taken, you know, contract work, or I've done stuff that wasn't totally my ultimate end goal, just to satisfy that piece in myself such that I could have the freedom. And I remember before I started Unconventional Life, which was this podcast on Forbes, you know, I literally was working as a marketing consultant. I took a 6-month contract just so I could have the bandwidth. And then by the time I had the bandwidth, I literally hit go, launched the podcast. And the next thing I knew, I was doing these 6-figure events months later, because I had the emotional resource and the financial stability, you know, to at least create that place from. So I think it's really important to look at both pieces and to be creative with what foundation you set yourself up with, because without a foundation, if you try to create, you know, 5 ideas with no foundation, or even 2 ideas, it's just not going to stick or become sustainable.
I think that's the thing, right? Because, you know, especially now, as I get so many messages of like, I want to go out on my own, or I want to pursue this dream, but it just doesn't seem realistic, or who am I to be this, or who am I to be that? And then also, you know, if you do need to feed your children, put a roof over your head, and those fears around the conventional jobs that bring in money. So what would you say for kind of trusting in that heart's desire and still, I mean, I guess you basically did with, sometimes you have to just take those side hustles. But what would you say in regards to having a dream that feels too big and unrealistic? How do you get around the self-doubt and the mindset to actually move forward with something that does feel so much bigger and so different from the life you're currently living?
Yeah. You know, it reminds me, you know, my dad worked Wall Street in New York City, and he was so against me being a musician and an artist. And I really believed him. So I chose, he was like, only 1% of people are going to make it. And we all have these like naysayers in our life. Yeah. You know, it's just too risky and you're not going to do it. And so I chose business, and I got really good at business. And I had this huge dream of like having my own albums and writing my own songs. And it took me 9 years to make my first album. Like, on one end of the world, people are seeing me create all these companies and they're like, wow, she can do whatever she wants. Yet when it came to my music, the thing that really, really, really mattered to me, it took me 9 years to put my first album together. And then in the last like 4 years, this is going to be my third album.
That's incredible. And that's a prime example of what you were talking about with timing and incubating. Because I really think that there's so much of who you became in those 9 years that had you then show up and stand so strong and own yourself as an artist that you probably 9 years before wouldn't have been able to do in the powerful way that you are now.
Absolutely. And I believe our soul's work, our soul's vision, it never abandons us. You can't forget it if you tried to. There was not a day that went by in those 9 years. I mean, maybe a day, maybe a week, but it always.
Are you there?
Yeah. Yeah. So
you were saying you believe that what your soul's guiding you to, that that dream is always with you.
Yeah. And I think if you trust that and know that, like, I know it is frustrating those days to be like, when is this finally going to click? When is this going to stick? Like, am I really supposed to be that? Or did I make up this reality in my head? There's so many moments I'm like, I'm either batshit crazy or totally onto something. And I don't even know which one I am anymore. Yeah. And so I really think that it takes sheer tenacity and frankly, choice. I think it is a combination success, in my opinion. It's a combination of choice and like real willpower. And I think there's something to be said about technicality and skill. But at the end of the day, if you say so, if you give your word to it, like J.K. Rowling. Then I do believe that, you know, you really will make it happen regardless of whatever the circumstances are. But you choosing to be all in, now that's the first step. And that's a choice I didn't make for 9 years until I finally said, you know what? I don't know how it's going to go, but I'm going to be all in. And I think any one of us right now, you could look at your varying degrees of all in-ness. You could be doing all the actions that say you're all in, but in your heart, have you faced that fear or faced whatever that resistance is and said, I'm going to just do it. I'm going to double down and see. And I do believe when you make that choice, the universe does respond.
I love that so much because I always say that. I'm like, it's always anything that you want in life. It's about deciding. You have to decide that you're worth it. You have to decide that it's yours. It's deciding and no longer keeping wiggle room for anything else but that. Like no longer having a plan B or, you know, any excuse around it, but just like, no, I've decided. Like, that's it. That's what I'm doing. It will be mine. I will figure it out. Like, I'm doing it, right? Oh my gosh. Okay. We have so many things. Well, also it's, you know, in my life, there was so much where I wanted to be an artist and I didn't even allow that as an actor, as even like something that could be. And so it's something that I came to later in life, but it took me getting cancer to actually awaken and start to like abandon what my business was, to redo the whole thing. And what I had spent, you know, almost like 7 or 8 years building to just be like, okay, this is not at all what I wanted and like walk away from all of it. So I'm like, there's so much that I'm just like, oh my gosh. So many, like, yeah, just a lot of synergy. So I would love to know, for someone that, all right, I'm going to make sure that we get to all these things. Okay. What, for someone that feels trapped by their circumstance. So, you know, you were fortunate to be able to be in a space where after, and I don't want to say fortunate because you had a near-death experience, but in a space where you weren't responsible for other humans or in serious amounts of debt or like just other themes. What would you say to someone that maybe feels really trapped by their circumstance, where they don't have a supportive partner, they, you know, have children, and they're kind of going like, I feel like trapped by my circumstance, by my life. How do I, like, what are those things that I can do? What would you say would be like, what advice would you give them to kind of get started in that direction?
Well, I think first off, like, circumstance is totally valid. Like, there's nothing like to invalidate about the experience. And actually, like, for me, I ran my first 6-figure company at 18, 7-figure company at 22. And then at 24, I did actually have a business partner embezzle a bunch of money, went to $200,000 worth of debt, had 20 some employees. Working with us was $30,000 a client, and it literally exponentially grew. And I was like about to have my 25th birthday. And I was like, what is my life? And so, and to make it matters worse, I was dating my other business partner. So it was just a and I had every reason to not recover. there was, I was working, you know, I went from working 8 hours a day to 12 hours a day to 16 hours a day to figuring out how do I start more businesses, to pay more people back, to not take a draw, to drain all of my savings, to run my health into the ground. And it was like, it felt like a rock bottom after a rock bottom after a rock bottom. And I think for some of us right now, like, you know, with COVID, like there's felt like a lot of rock bottoms, and maybe COVID was the thing after all the other things that then created a rock bottom. And I just want to offer that, like, that experience is real, and there's nothing to say that doesn't make circumstance suck less. Like that circumstance, like, sucked. Sometimes circumstances suck. And so, like, you know, there's no way to sugarcoat it. But what I will say is that in the depths, and I really hold this, that when my world has broken down, or when your world feels like it's breaking down, and as you shared with, you know, your experience with cancer, like, I do believe we're actually being made new. It's actually a way for us to break down all of the structure and all of the things that weren't actually in our alignment. And I believe we are all energetic beings as frequency. There's a law of energy. And so I do actually believe that if you can ride it out and not get off the roller coaster time and time again, if I tell the truth to myself, no matter how crappy the circumstance was in that moment, it does change. Nothing is permanent. And that's something to remember, is I think where we get in the trap is we tell ourselves this is how it is and this is how it always will be. And then instantly we place a ceiling of what's possible. We subscribe exactly to whatever that ceiling is. And that is when we choose that reality, and that from that place, it does become impossible. And I've been so guilty of that in my own life. But if you keep remembering that it's temporary, and you keep saying, well, what's the one thing I can do? Okay, I got to feed my kids, or wow, I have no money right now. Like, what? I know for myself, you know, I started just taking small micro steps, and it maybe wasn't going in for the whole big bite, but it was like the little things I could do right now. Posting on Facebook, hey, what does anyone need help with? Or I'm thinking about offering like 3 calls just to like give back to my community. Like, what 3 people might want to take advantage of those? Or whatever it might be, it can be little micro things. Like maybe time is a scarcity resource, or maybe money is. So look at what can you do in a small way, and let it just be the next step and the next step. But I guess the last thing I'll say is just allow there still to be momentum. No matter what happens, I believe when things get stagnant, that's where we cut ourselves off to receiving what's available to us. So if you keep moving, even if sometimes it feels like you're barely moving, you know, one step, one step, one step, like you will start to see new change happen eventually. And that's the only thing I can really say from my own experience, is you just have to keep going 1 foot after the other and ask yourself, what can I do right now in this moment? What small step can I take?
I love that, because I do think that many too are kind of going, I'm in a rut. How do I get out? And what do I do? And I think when you do have a bigger vision, it's sometimes you can go, oh my God. And you just kind of feel paralyzed. And it is those micro steps. Totally. Where you turn around and you go, like, it's like we would never get to the top of the mountain if we look up at the mountain. It would just, you just talk yourself out of it. But if you just keep your head down with 1 foot in front of the other, you know, it's like before you know it, you're looking behind you and you're like, oh my God, look at how far I've come. And I think so much of that has to do with also praising yourself every step of the way, which is something that I know was a game changer for me. To be that constant voice of love, like my biggest cheerleader, instead of looking for that from outside sources all the time and going, oh, did you notice me? Did you tell me that I'm successful? Did you say that I'm good at this? Did you? And instead going, no, I'm good at this, you know, and I did a great job and I'm a good person, and just constantly being that cheerleader and really falling in love with everything that I do, regardless of what it is.
Yeah. And, you know, I relate to it too, like getting those micro wins on the board, and how do you really set yourself up to feel your success, no matter how big or small it is. And I do believe when we get that cellular imprint of feeling, it does give us the confidence to keep going.
At that, hands down, so much. So, okay. I want to know, who would you say has been the biggest influence in your life?
You know, for me, I would say my dad. And my dad and I have had a very interesting relationship. I was the oldest of five girls. He worked Wall Street in New York City, very traditional corporate career. I remember I would be like 12 or 13. I'd come home and be like, "Dad, I have all these ideas." And instead of encouraging me, he would look at what was wrong with what I was doing or what was missing. And so instead of seeing what, you know, feeling that validation, I would often feel what seemed like criticism or seeing, you know, where the holes were. But over time, it allowed me to start thinking differently. And even though you had me, like, I remember he told me, he's like, "You're crazy. No one's going to support you. No one's going to give you money. Like, this is ridiculous, like, blah, blah, blah." It allowed, through our differences, for me to ultimately create more of a path of myself and to also see a different perspective that I wouldn't have seen on my own. And, you know, even to this day, I think it wasn't until I started writing for Forbes that my dad finally got that maybe I was semi-successful. He was like, I'd have been so many businesses. He's like, "Oh, Forbes, we understand that one." But nonetheless, you know, even though I was 8 years into my career, it has shaped me so much. And I think without his perspective, I don't think I would have gotten where I've gotten, and ultimately motivation. And I think we have a lot of people in our life that play different roles, but for me, it's actually in the differences that has taught me the most.
Okay. So again, I'm even more impressed by you hearing that, because many would take that and that would be the reason why they would not succeed or achieve. And there would be a lot of blame or go into victim on why they weren't able to do things, because they were, you know, grew up being told or given limitations. And you instead took that and turned that into your motivation. And I think that that is so powerful, because one of the things that I always speak to is it's our own internalization of, and our perception of what's happening that either serves us, that right, or it hurts us. And when you can take something, regardless of what it is, and turn it into something that gives you a life force to move forward, which you did so beautifully, it really speaks to who you are and how you approach life. And it's just really powerful. And I think regardless if anybody listening is kind of like, "Oh, I've been a victim to stories in my life," that's okay. And the word victim is very charged, but you know, you can shift that at any time and choose to see any stories you experience differently. So I love that you said that. So one of the questions that I always ask on the Wholeness Podcast is, what advice or what is something that you wish you'd known that you would tell your 10-year-old self that you know now?
Yeah, I love that. For me, I would say it doesn't have to be so complicated. Like, I have spent so much time overcomplicating the crap out of everything. Whether it was a business or whether it was something that, you know, I wanted to go for. And I find that some of the best success that I've had has been when things felt easy. And, you know, I remember one time I created literally this $80,000 revenue stream off of a Facebook post in 3 days, and it was unplanned. And literally I had broken up with my boyfriend. I was totally heartbroken in Colorado. And I was like, "Where are my women at?" And I just put a post on Facebook. I was like, "Any women, you know, want to take a bucket list experience somewhere around the world and like get out of town?" And I was like, went to get something in the kitchen. I was like, "If no one answers, I'll delete this comment and pretend it never happened." And within like minutes, I was getting like tens and tens of comments. And it literally got over 150 comments in like 12 hours. And all these men were messaging me thinking I was starting some like women's like travel mastermind camp. And this was like way before Unconventional Life was successful or anything. And I literally, you know, from that decided, I was like, okay, all these people want to take a trip somewhere. Well, what's the next logical step? I should put them all in a Facebook group because this Facebook thread is getting crazy. And then from there, I was like, what's the next logical step? And I was like, oh, they want to take a trip. Like, let me, you know, figure out when and like, you know, for how much we should do it for. And 40 people out of that 150 said yes to a $2,000 trip in Greece. and it was like, boom, $80,000 generated. I wasn't trying to make any money. I was just like, honestly, trying to hang out with some new girlfriends and create some connection. And it's just a case for me of like how easy things can be. Like, you don't have to create masterful business plans and strategies and do all the things. Like, sometimes it can actually just be that easy. You can just pay attention to where the momentum is. Like, wow, a lot of people are interested in this topic I just posted about because it was on my heart. Cool. Okay, what's the next step and what makes the most sense? And so I would offer that to all of us. And yeah, just to keep your ears open for what's in front of you, because I think we're always getting information like that.
I, again, so love that. And you also, so how have you managed to get out of one of the things that I am always doing in coaching and honestly with myself and in my business is helping people to deprogram all of the programming. And to actually, that's what wholeness is, right? Like, coming back to the truth of who you are before any of that was any projections on you, programming, just, you know, that limitless nature of just like, it's easy. You just follow what feels good. You know, there's no real like hidden agendas, right? How have you managed to release the programming that you had?
Yeah, also a really great question. I believe that a lot of our ceilings of possibility actually are correlated to the amount of space there is in our nervous system. So what I realized, especially after my near-death experience, it felt like I came back. I had like a 10-volt battery of soul energy, was like supercharged to like a 1,000-volt battery. And my physical body couldn't hold that amount of energy. And I watched so many people, they'll start awakening and things will start happening. And then their body gets sick or something else happens and something shuts down. And I was literally having these like shake fits. And I'm like, am I really out of my mind? Like, what is going on? And I had to learn that, you know, our memories, the experiences, the trauma we have when we put something out there and it doesn't resonate, we don't just store them in our mind and in our emotions, we store them in our bodies. And so I, you know, had to start learning different practices, you know, like breath work or different types of movement practices. I use a lot of resistance stretching as another one of mine to allow my nervous system create more space.
Yeah.
Hold more of energy that was coming in. And so I think that's such an important part, because our minds can stay in these infinite traps, but if we don't have more space to create a new, you know, integrate it, and then we're like, why is this never working? And it's like, but I already solved the thing. So you just actually need more space. And so I think, you know, if some of you hearing this are in that trap, I have found the shortcut is to actually create the space in your body. And then you'll notice the work that you do with your mind or those beliefs just integrates, you know, automatically. Once that work's been done.
Oh my gosh, I could ask you like 50 questions just on this alone. It's so interesting because that was one of the things after my diagnosis, and I had a spiritual awakening. So many, I was really called. I then got certified in breath work, and I was really called to move things throughout my body. And I got really into, I'd always done like inner child and trauma healing work with clients, but really going deeper with that. And the release work that you're talking about, because yeah, it was, I hadn't heard it that way about the battery before, but that's really what I felt. Like I felt so expansive, but contracted in this being, which is a kind of a, I don't know how to, but I would feel I had to move. Like I have to move. And get things out of my system. So I think that's a powerful piece, and I love that we can close there. So I'm going to ask you the last question. And I wanted to know, what does wholeness mean to you?
Yeah. So it's been so great being on the show with you. And, you know, I think for me, wholeness really is the congruency between my internal reality and my external reality. It is the feeling of what I know inside actually mirroring what I feel outside. And it's open and it's available to all forms. It's committed, but it's not attached. And I find when there's congruency of the internal and external, for me, that's what wholeness is. And it feels like it's a verb. It's the state of being rather than, you know, a noun as a thing.
Oh my gosh. So beautiful. So, all right. You've got your next album is dropping. And what is the name?
So the next album coming out is called Restless Soul. I have got a single called Judgment Day, which is coming out the 17th, a week from yesterday. And it's really an anthem. Yeah, it's an anthem for freedom. And it echoes so much of this conversation right now. It's about choosing what you want and really using your voice. I think we don't have the, you know, the luxury of staying silent in the way that we have before. And I think it's, we're really being asked to use our voice and activate our voice in different ways. And that song, all of my music is completely channeled, meaning I sit down and it literally, you know, comes out in one sitting. I write like an album almost in like 15 minutes and then transcribe it. So it's literally coming through.
It's really incredible. You guys have to check her out. So they can go and, okay, so we're going to put all the links below. And is there, where can everyone find you? We'll obviously have your website linked to your Spotify. And where, yeah, is there, and then on Instagram, where can they follow you as well?
Yeah, so to Spotify, or you can go to Jules Schroeder, SCHROEDER.com. Also, if you're in the podcast, we've got over 300 episodes of the Unconventional Life podcast. You can check that out on all platforms, or JulesSchroederMusic.com, and you can check everything out there.
Awesome. Amazing. And obviously, guys, we will have every, all of the links for you as well. So Jules, thank you so much for being here in your car and showing up still as you do. And it's just incredible. And I just so enjoy today, and I know it's going to help so many. So just thank you again for your time. This is really incredible and generous of you.
Yeah, Melissa, thank you so much. I love what you're doing.
Oh my gosh, thank you. I love what you're doing. And I cannot wait to listen to your music and get your new album and follow all the things, as I know everybody else will. So thank you again for being here. And guys, we'll see you next week on the Wholeness Podcast.
Thanks so much, everyone.
Thank you for joining me today. If this podcast episode was super helpful for you, please share with your friends, guys. Sharing is caring. What would mean the world is an awesome review on iTunes. Simply click and give your 5-star review so I can keep bringing you great content to support you in shining bright, playing big, and living as your most beautiful, authentic, and powerful self in a body you love. This show doesn't stop here, so join our exclusive and private Facebook community called Wholeness with Melissa Catherine. Simply ask to join to receive endless complimentary videos, monthly Facebook Lives exclusive for this community, and be a part of an awesome, sacred, safe space of incredible, like-minded women just like you, where you can feel heard, express, and receive additional guidance. And I have something else that's incredible for you this month. So if you've been struggling to understand why you sabotage the things that you want, girl, this is my zone of genius and this is what I do. So I have created a quiz for you based off of my international best-selling book called Eat Right for Your Archetype. This quiz is going to help you to identify which archetype you are so you can break free from self-sabotage to release weight and step into your power in life. So this is so much more. Even if you don't have to release weight, this is about being healthy, and your health and wellness is what empowers you to your greatness. So simply head on over to melissacatherine.com/quiz to take that quiz today, and you will receive your results right away, right in your inbox. All right. Thanks so much, guys. And I will see you in the next episode.